Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player podcast. I'm your host, Jay, the number 215 forever. Follow your boy on IG, and on your IG page is my podcast page. It is at Know Your Role Player _ podcast. The best way that you can listen to this podcast, to download the Anchor app, that's anchor.fm/KnowYourRolePlayer. Whether you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, or any that you listen to music and consume podcasts, you will get notifications when new episodes like the one you are currently listening to becomes available. All right, guys, welcome back. Today is Monday, April 8th. Man, we are wrapping it up. The season is almost over, man. So, as I said before, once the season do end, I will have a very long, probably hour and a half podcast on first team All-NBA, second team All-NBA, first team All-Defense, second team All-Defense. I'll do a first team All-Rookie. I'll probably do a second one. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. But I'm excited. The playoffs are around the corner, and so let's jump right into it. Yo, so last night was wild. Real quick, so for today, I want to make sure I say this. There is no basketball on today. So it's the national championship game for the men's college basketball, Purdue versus UConn, I believe. And so there'll be no NBA games today. So we don't got to talk about no NBA games coming on tonight. But I got to give a quick shout-out to the women's basketball team, South Carolina, for winning the women's national championship. Dawn Staley, a.k.a. North Philly's finest. Pretty dope. Yo, so I didn't know. I did watch the game yesterday, right? And so I didn't know that Dawn Staley lost 3 games in 3 years, was undefeated this year. And if you listen and watch college basketball, women's basketball, you wouldn't know she was undefeated, right? And that was kind of crazy because, you know, a lot of people were talking about Caitlin Clark. And I just thought that overall, again, this is a basketball podcast. I just thought that overall it's good for the women's game. You know, I don't see often a lot of guys as engaged in women's college sports as I saw this year. I thought that was cool. And even I'm not going to lie, I don't watch the WNBA. And not because I'm just above watching it. I don't watch it. Now, I'll skim through it, but I'm not going to sit here and give y'all the Phoenix Sparks, you know. I'm not going to fake it until I make it, you know. I don't watch it. I'm going to start to watch it. I probably won't do content on it as much, but I definitely wanted to give shout-outs to the women's college basketball. Also, Caitlin Clark, you know, I think it was reported that 18 million views were on women's college basketball. Thought that was pretty dope. All right, so listen, let's get into it. Sunday was a wild night of basketball. Some blowouts, some close games, some high scoring. It was interesting. So we're going to talk about Sunday's slate real quick. So where do y'all want to start? Y'all want to start from the bottom or the top? Let's start from the top with the Rockets and Mavericks. So if y'all remember last time, Luka blows out he blows out the Houston Rockets the last time they played. Yeah, about 40-something points, 6-3s, just giving him the business, doing whatever he wants. Ime Udoka says after the last matchup that he didn't think that Houston came ready to play. He didn't want to double, so Luka kind of did whatever he wanted. Now, it's kind of interesting. So there was a little bit of a different game plan, but instead of Luka going off, he kind of did go off. Kyrie goes off. Now, funny enough, in the first half, Houston comes out guns blazing. You know, they win the first quarter 42-27. They really was aggressive. Even early on, Jalen Green was really aggressive getting his shot. Then he gets into foul trouble. So once he got into foul trouble, even though they were up pretty big, I think they were up 7 or 8 points going into halftime, it was pretty close. The game got up second quarter, right? So in the second quarter, the Mavericks scored about 39 points. Rockets scored about 29. That's when the game kind of tightened up. But I really got to give credit to Dallas, man. Over the last 2 weeks, you kind of see how Dallas low-key might be the darkest team nobody wants to play, right? And so when you talk about playoff basketball, you need certain intangibles. You need a superstar player. You need some quality role players. You need some young guys that can kind of step up into bigger roles. And you kind of just need you need a puncher's chance. And I'm not going to lie to y'all, Dallas can give any team a hard time. They can compete with any team just because of the superstars at top. And again, when you help too much off of those superstars, they have good team balance and have other shooters. PJ Washington, who has been on fire this past week, kind of cooled off a little bit yesterday, has been hitting total amount of threes this year, just killing them from the 3-point line, right? And so he was getting busy, right? But Luka was getting busy. But this game to me was a Kyrie Irving. He was very special. 15 out of 25 from the field goal line, 3 out of 8 from the 3-point line, 48 points. Now, I ain't gonna lie, this game went back and forth. It was kind of weird because I felt like the Rockets completely outplayed Dallas in the first half. Once Jalen Green got into foul trouble, Dallas comes back into the game. Kyrie's really aggressive, getting to the paint, doing whatever he wants, getting all his open shots. Then Luka starts to pick it back up. You know, they really had a good time, both just feasting in the paint, getting whatever shot they wanted. And Still, Houston almost pulls this game out. It takes to the end of regulation for Dante Exum to hit a shot to go into overtime. And I'm not going to lie. Once this game went to overtime, Houston was cooked, man. 48 points for Kyrie, 37 for Luka, 12 assists for Luka, 9 rebounds, 7 rebounds for Kyrie. PJ Washington chips in with 13 and 14. Just kind of a great game. And like I said, Dallas is a team that you don't want to play right now. So if we go into the standings after this game, right, and we look at Dallas, Dallas is currently the fifth seed. So they are two games up on Phoenix at 48 and 30, and they are 2 games below Dallas. So it's about 6 or 7 games left. So it's pretty much, I think the only real spot they have is to go up or down. So they're going to probably, they can keep going down. So it's important for them to keep winning the rest of their games, right? So another comeback, right? And this one was way worse. This was bad. Yo, so the Cavaliers were blowing out the LA Clippers. The Clippers won 120 to 118. So in the first quarter, the Cavs scored 40 and 40 in the first half. They completely blow them out. They're up by 20. They're blowing them out. Halftime, I believe that Evan Mobley had about 16 points. He was giving whatever shot he wanted in time. Darius Garland was going off. Caris LeVert was going off. And then, like, an ultimate meltdown happening in Cleveland. And I'm not going to worry about I'm not going to be lying to y'all. Like, Cleveland was a team that I kind of thought people slept on. And I still do. But again, Donovan Mitchell's injuries have kind of been worrisome. And I'm going to be honest, man. Darius Garland is a really good player. He's had a very up and down season. I felt like last year, he was very consistent with getting to the rim, creating for others, hitting his open shots. Like, he has regressed a little bit to me. You know, nothing big. He'll bounce back. But I don't love how he has been this season. Now, Caris LeVert, he's been playing pretty well. He started in place of Donovan Mitchell. He finishes with 18 points, 2 assists, and 5 rebounds. But again, the story of this game was after going up big, Paul George going off, right? 39 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists. Yo, 7 assists for Paul George is absolutely insane because for the most part in the Clippers offense, he's really just kind of spotting up 3-point shooting, kind of attacking off a pick and roll, kind of just looking for his own shot. So really good job by him to find balance in between the scoring and passing, right? But I'm not going to lie, this is a bad loss for Cleveland. Cleveland falls to 46 and 33. Clippers move up to 50 and 28. And this was just a bad loss. Harden finally looked like he had a pulse again. For like the last 2 or 3 weeks, James Harden looked like he was just missing shots, not finishing at the rim, crying about fouls. He was looking washed. The washed allegations were returning, all right? And they were coming to storm. But it looks like he's fought off the washed allegations again. You know what's funny with Harden? It's just he can't do it on a consistent night basis. So if there was 3 games in 7 nights, he'd probably have 1 great game, 1 good game, and 1 horrible game, right? And that's not a superstar anymore. That's kind of a good player into a, you know, older superstar, right? But again, bad loss by the Clippers, great loss by Phoenix. So we continue with this theme of teams blowing big leads and, you know, teams losing games. So finally, it ends, right? The Pacers are another team. They blow a big lead, right? So they win 117 to 115 over the Miami Heat. The Pacers move up to 45 and 34. The Heat fall to 43 and 35. Wow. This game was really, really interesting. In the first half, they did whatever they wanted. The Pacers got down. Tyrese Halliburton was very aggressive, finding his own shot, creating for others. I thought Miles Turner had a really good game, aggressive, looking for his own shot, doing a good job of finding other people, too. Making some smart passes, being dominant on the glass. I liked it what I saw from the Pacers. Again, for the Pacers, I feel like with them is like, yo, just see what we have in the playoffs. Now, obviously, their big problem, not problem, but their big thing with their team is, what are they going to do this offseason with Pascal Siakam? Now, he plays a solid game, finishes with 18 points and 8 rebounds. Yo, I'm not going to lie. He's not a bad player for them, but he doesn't, like, really change the dynamic. So he's a very good defensive player, and obviously the Indiana Pacers need that. They give up still the most points in the paints, and they get torched by centers, right? Even though Bam didn't go off, he kind of had his way inside 20 and 12. But, again, he kind of could have had his way more. And, again, shout-outs to Bam. I've been noticing that Bam been shooting more threes. 1 of 4 from the three-point line, but I'm not going to lie. He got a sweet mid-range shot, and he's been doing his job trying to extend that shot out. I don't know if I want Bam shooting 5 threes, but again, we live in a new day and age. If that's what the coaching staff thinks is good for him, if y'all like it, I love it, right? But again, another blown lead. So the Pacers are up by, I think, as much as... And real quick, the other things... So let's do three things real quick. The three things I noticed for the Heat that... Coming off an injury, Tyler Hero looking a lot better. More explosive, more aggressive as far as getting to the rim. His speed was really a game changer in this game. And the one thing I kind of noticed for this game, even though the Pacers did win, is that the Heat kind of are really big on improving their scoring dynamic. If you always remember in the playoffs, the Heat play an ugly brand of basketball where they muck the game up, slow it down, make sure to hit the glass on rebounds, you know, keep it low scoring, turn you over. I think this year in the playoffs, the Heat will be a little bit more better offensively. You know, with Tyler Hero, Terry Rozier, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, and whoever you think the other starters should be, whether it be Martin or somebody else off the bench, I really do enjoy the dynamic of their guards, wings, and forwards. I think there's a lot of shooting, passing, and getting to the rim. So even last night, like I said, I'm starting to see it. Again, Jimmy Butler, towards the end of the season, he is a little bit more aggressive, so you love to see that. And again, good job by the Heat, you know, fighting back in the game, trying to get that win. Even though they called him up short, I just thought there was a lot of things to be encouraged about as far as that game, right? But again, credit to the Pacers for winning the game. Now, next game I want to talk about, and I'm not going to talk about all of these games. I won't keep y'all here forever. Maybe about one or two more games. So, next game I want to talk about is... The Sixers, man. So, no Joel Embiid. We play the San Antonio Spurs, and it went a little bit like this. And I'm going to just talk about a couple things. So, one, Tyrese Maxey. Wow, man. He was absolutely hooping. Finishes with a 50-burger. 50 points. And, man, so no Embiid. And he just did whatever he wanted. He consistently, off the screen, got by Wembanyama. I mean, finishes with high arcing layups off the rim. Off the ball, he was hitting him on backdoor cuts, killing him. He was absolutely phenomenal. I'm going to be honest with y'all. You can hear it in my voice. The Sixers are trying to get my hopes up, man. I know that they're not a championship team, but, man, it just feels good to have a healthy Embiid, a healthy Maxey. We're still missing some guys, Covington, you know, some other guys, Milton. But, again, I'm not going to lie, man. I'm pretty excited as a Sixer fan how we're looking going into the playoffs. So, listen, I want to talk about Victor Wembanyama, and I need to walk back something. Remember before I told y'all, I still stand by my take. I still think he shoots a lot of threes, but I'm going to shut up because he got a really nice-looking shot, right? That's the one thing. The other thing with Wembanyama is, y'all, there's about 3 plays that he does every game that I've never seen before. All right, so check this out. He's about 12 feet from the rim on the left-hand side, kind of posting up. This is exactly what he does. He kind of holds the ball like a football, takes 2 power dribbles and kind of does this scoop dunk to where he kind of takes the ball out, goes behind his shoulder, and just dunks. And he did it so effortlessly. And I was like, yo, what was that? Then there was this other play where he's at the 3-point line. He does a ball fake to the right side, an inside out dribble, step back to the left, and bangs a 3. Then he does this other thing. When he's at the free throw line, not the free throw line, the left wing, where he pump fakes and just kind of takes like 1 half dribble and he's already at the rim. Yo, the thing about him is, and he got a couple of easy lobs. The thing about him is like, yo, his skill is ridiculous. And so I'm going to walk back my take a little bit because you shouldn't put a ceiling on him, right? Obviously, he'll get older. He'll learn to take better shots to kind of be more impactful with his shots and scoring. But I'm going to take, I'm going to walk back some of them three. Yo, get him up, man. He got a nice looking shot. He's got some really good handle, man. He can really put that ball on the floor. You know, I got to give Maxey credit because he was kind of like a half step late. And again, I can't give him a ton of blame with Maxey because Maxey is kind of like a jitterbug to me. Like, he is super quick. He can just get to that spot and get that ball off the glass. And again, he's practices a lot. And it was like, no matter what, he got them ball off way before Wembanyama. And again, Wembanyama had some blocks. He played well. But I just thought Maxey was special, man. And I thought the Sixers was special. They played fast. They're a different team when Embiid doesn't play. You know, they play fast. Nicholas Batum, again, the washed allegations have to be apologized because between the entry-level passing and the 41% three-point shooting, I'm sold on Nicholas Batum, right? And again, Nick Nurse is going to have to make some decisions because if Tobias Harris is not getting it out done, we got some other wings and Ricky Council, KJ Martin, Nicholas Batum, other guys, Kelly Oubre, other guys are going to have to get minutes, right? Because we got some wings out here. And again, Kelly Oubre brings a dynamic of athleticism that we haven't had. It's going to be some interesting decisions that we're going to have to make in the offseason. But like I said, man, the Sixers won a really good game, 133-126. Again, Maxey 50 burger, Wembanyama 18-33, 5 out of 10 from the three-point line. Like I said, I'm shutting up because if a center can shoot 5 out of 10, I'm not going to tell him don't shoot 5 out of 10, right? That's 50% shooting off of a lot of shots, man, for a big guy. And not easy shots. He got like a couple spot-up three-pointers, but a lot of them was off the dribble, man. So, yo, he is the truth.com, man. He really is, man. And it was a joy to watch. So, I ain't going to lie. I would love to see him play in person, man. So, I don't know. If I can get Wembanyama in Philadelphia next year, that's on the bucket list, man. Other couple of games. Timberwolves and Lakers. The Timberwolves wound up winning 127-117. Listen, once again, if you want to know what happened in this game, Anthony Davis gets hurt. And once he goes out, LeBron was already out with flu-like symptoms. Once he goes out, the game was pretty much tied before Davis got hurt. He was playing well. And once he got hurt, it's pretty much over. Naz Reid, phenomenal again. 31-11, 6 out of 8 from the three-point line. I'm going to be honest with y'all. And y'all ask me, is there a Naz Reid conversation that we have to have with Karl Anthony Towns? Now, in no way, shape, or form is he not better. But it'll be interesting because, again, you know, they did re-sign him. And he's good enough to start. He ain't no backup center. He's good enough to start. He's got more than enough skill. And he plays well next to Gobert, man. You know, I like him. I like him a lot, man. And it'll be interesting to see. This playoff ride, I don't think – there hasn't been a real update on Towns, but this playoff ride, we'll see what happens with him. But I don't know. With the Lakers, man, they fall down to 45-34. Minnesota moves up to 54-24. Warriors, Jazz, no Stephen Curry, no problem. The Warriors win 118-110. I'm going to give Draymond a lot of credit. I'm going to be honest with y'all. When Steph Curry doesn't play, either Draymond gets thrown out the game, kind of looks checked out mentally, or he kind of goes in. He was okay. Finishes with 3-3-3. Didn't do too much. The kind of real big stars of this game was Klay Thompson. Guns a-blazing again. 6 out of 13 from the three-point line. 32 points a game high. Tracy Jackson Ellis is kind of a big story with Golden State, right? So, once Jonathan Kuminga got hurt, he kind of, you know, they kind of went to a big, double big lineup with Jackson. I always get this guy's name wrong. Trace Jackson Davis, all right? Maybe TJD or whatever. But him and Draymond have been starting the last couple games together. And it's been really big good for them because, as y'all know, I said the biggest issue with the Warriors is rebounding, interior defense, and size, and finishing at the rim. Well, what do you look have here? A rookie that can combine all those things and get some minutes. He's actually getting minutes. Yo, Steve Kerr drives me crazy. Hey, let's just wait till the end of the season and start playing him. Right, there we go. But I'll get back to it and get off my tangent. It's an interesting decision Steve Kerr has to make now, right? Because Kuminga off the bench, he was playing well, and you kind of know what do you do, right? So maybe you have a healthy lineup is a Steph Curry, Wiggins, Kuminga. You know, you don't know what you want to do there. Do you want the shooting? Do you want the athleticism? Do you want the defense? It'll be an interesting thing to monitor because y'all remember that Kuminga kind of checked out early in the season saying, like, yo, he don't believe in me. I want to get traded. But after that, he played really well. He kind of refound happiness in there. But it'll be interesting to see, you know. It'll be interesting to see. All right. News and notes around the NBA, and then I'm going to get y'all out of here. I apologize. My nose, my voice sounds a little nasally right now. I just peeped it. Okay. Real quick. Star Hawks Trey Young clear for practice. 6 weeks after having left pinky surgery, Atlanta Hawks star guard Trey Young was cleared to return to practice, the team announced. Young tore a ligament in the finger on February 23rd during a game against the Toronto Raptors, underwent surgery for 4 days. The Hawks have gone 12-10 since his injury, entering Tuesday's game against the Miami Heat, 36-44, and they hold the final play-in spot. Young 25 averages a team best 26.4 points, 10.8 assists, and 51 games. Young is probably the most divisive player in the league because it's clear that he's good, it's clear that he's talented, but people are really kind of like, well, he takes away from winning. And what Trey Young is, I don't think he takes away from winning. I think he can add to winning. But roster construction and, you know, team roster balance is so big. Outside of him, you need some real center protection. You need a backup point guard that can defend. You need wings that can be versatile because he's going to be your weak link on defense, and he's going to get attacked. It's just important to have strong help defense when he does get attacked. And I think he's getting traded this offseason. Again, both of those guys might get traded, but I definitely think he's getting traded. Some people said the Spurs. I have mixed feelings on how I feel about a Greg Popovich leading Trey Young, but he might like him. But I have mixed feelings about that. I do think the Spurs are going to upgrade and put some more talent on Wembanyama so they can make his game a little bit easier. All right? Excuse me. News and notes. Julius Randle out for the season with shoulder. I talked about this earlier the other day, but I want to talk about this again. Yo, this is weird. So I didn't see anywhere that he said that he re-aggravated it, right? I just saw that, I don't know, maybe he was coming back and it didn't work the way it worked. I just felt like he should have had this surgery a long time ago. And again, I'm not a health expert. Maybe they were trying something different that I don't know about, but I feel like he should have had this surgery way earlier, all right? And that's pretty much it. So listen, we're going to come back Wednesday. No games on Tuesday. No games on Monday. Tuesday there will be games. So we'll come back Wednesday, talk about Tuesday's games. I still got y'all with a lot of stuff. I didn't forget y'all with the NBA mock draft. Kind of been looking over it. Not the greatest NBA class, but we'll talk about it. All right. But I'm going to wrap this pod up right here. I'm going to keep it short and simple. Please like, share, and subscribe. Tell one friend to tell another friend to tell another friend about the Know Your Role Player podcast. That's KNOWYAROLEPLAYER podcast. All right. You hashtag that. Whether you have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you will find links to all episodes I've ever did. All right. I love y'all. Y'all have a great week. Let's keep it pushing. Let's stay motivated. Let's stay blessed. Let's stay positive. I'll talk to y'all Wednesday. Peace.